Welcome to a new episode of our HardwareX podcast featuring author interviews. I'm your host, Santosh Pandey from Iowa State University. Our guest today is Professor Jung Hong Shin and Won Hon from Pokyung National University, South Korea, where Dr. Shin is an assistant professor in the Department of Biomedical Engineering. Dr. Shin is an expert in microfluidics, lab-on-chip, biosensors, diagnostic devices, and molecular biology. His work has been published in very reputable journals in the field. In April 2021, his team published a paper in HardwareX titled Low-Cost Open-Source 3D Printed Antibody Dispenser for the Development and Small-Scale Production of Lateral Flow Assay Strips. The authors are Won Han and Jun Ho Shin. The paper is freely available to anyone through open access. Thank you both for coming to our show. Your paper identifies the need for an open source version for a 3D printed antibody dispenser. It shows a nice way to build and assemble the parts while keeping everything open source and keeping the cost within $30. Welcome both of you for coming to our show. To start with, could you tell us what lateral flow assays really are, how they work, and where can we actually find them?
All right. So first, I want to thank you for inviting us today. And to answer your question about lateral flow assay, I want to say that the lateral flow assays, or LFA for short, are one of the easiest assay methods used for on-site or point-of-care detection of analytes in liquid sample. LFAs detect target analytes by utilizing antibody-antigen reaction between target analytes and antibody-conjugated gold nanoparticles and antibodies that are immobilized on nitrocellulose membrane of the strip. So the test result typically appears as a single red line or two lines. A good example of LFA are pregnancy test strips, which are available at local pharmacies or convenience stores.
Great. So what is the state of the art to fabricate lateral flow assays? What materials are used? What are the fabrication steps?
So typically, LFA strips consist of several porous paper-like materials connected in a linear fashion. They are nitrocellulose membrane, or NC membrane for short, conjugate pad, which is made of glass fiber pad, and sample pad and absorbent pads, which are made of cellulose fibers. They are assembled after they are pre-treated with different chemicals. For example, conjugate pad can be pre-soaked with antibody-conjugated gold nanoparticles and then dried prior to assembly. And the NC membrane is where the capture antibodies and control antibodies are immobilized. This step requires the dispensing of antibodies in a linear fashion, and this is where our dispenser plays its role.
So dispensing is a critical part of fabricating lateral flow assays. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So if commercially available dispensers are so expensive, as you mentioned a few companies in your paper. So why can't I just manually pipette a small volume of antibodies, put them on the nitrocellulose membrane to detect the antigens?
That's a great point. So many researchers in the academia, they actually do pipette a small volume, like 1 or 2 microliters of antibodies on a single NC membrane. Okay. However, this can introduce some human error and result in irregular shape of antibody spot, which can cause deviation in measurements and make the results somewhat unreliable. And also turns out that compared to using pipette to manually drop antibodies to strip, using such dispenser allows you to use less antibodies per strip. That can become cost-saving feature.
So could you describe how your invention of this dispenser really works? And how did you come up with this idea? Because it seems that this field is very established and there are commercial companies that are dominant, and coming up with such a smart, cheap, and open source way to fabricate these test strips is really not that easy.
So the dispenser simply passes NC membrane using a motor, and the antibodies are dispensed passively, or they are wicked away by the capillary force of the NC membrane. Okay. As for the motivation of making the device, I worked at a startup company before and learned that many of the instruments that are needed in R&D have too many features that are not often used. And these features usually drive the price up. And during COVID-19 pandemic, I figured that many companies or labs will need a cheap device with minimum features that can be good enough for proof of concept studies. And as for the design of the dispenser, one who is the first author of the work was inspired by a toy money gun that shoots dollar bills in the air. I'm pretty sure you've seen this in a movie or a music video before.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
And he is going to explain the design process in more detail.
Okay, thank you. I thought that using a roller to move NC strip by having a stationary needle tip will allow me to make a smaller device. This was a much better design compared to our very first prototype, which was relatively bulky because it worked like an inkjet printer and had a moving dispenser that traveled across the length of the NC strip.
So your invention, is that inspired from an inkjet printer?
So initially, we thought of using a design of a inkjet printer initially, but that required the dispenser to have a moving part. And also, in order to print a certain distance of NC strip, the device had to be as big as that length of the target length. And instead, we wanted to have stationary parts and have NC membranes move instead in order to reduce the size of the dispenser.
I like your invention quite a bit. And so if I wanted to build the same dispenser as yours, can I do it? And how long will it take me? And do I have access to all the design files and instructions on how to build it?
I think that depends on the user's prior experience with making stuff. So if you are familiar with assembling stuff like Legos, I think it would take you less time. But also having a background knowledge on electronics also helps. But typically, if you have all the assembly files and all the parts ready, the assembly will take about an hour by following the published paper. 3D printing of the body typically takes the longest, which may take as long as 16 hours to print using a typical FDM printer. And all of the design files and instructions are available on online repository. And we use a Mendeley data to do so. And that also includes the code that you need to upload into Arduino. And by reading the published paper and using the repository, anybody can replicate the device.
I had a follow-up question on that. The 3D printing of the body, you said, takes 16 hours, right? That's a long time. So can I skip that step, or is it necessary for me to get it 3D printed, or can I just go to a CNC machine and get that part built?
Oh, that's a great point. If you have an access to CNC machine, I think you can do that, and that will be much quicker compared to 3D printing.
Okay. Coming back again, while I was reading the paper, it said so many things beautifully, like it went through a lot of different technical challenges and it showed ways to handle them. You talked about how you deal with air bubbles, dead volume. How do you choose the appropriate needle size? How do you choose the different membranes of different porosity? How do you ensure the needle tip is perfectly in contact with the membrane? So these are all very great details for someone who wants to replicate your system. I was just curious, how did you identify all these challenges? And it would have taken a while for you to come up with solutions.
I have an experience doing research with letter flow SA strips, and I've used commercially available dispenser before. So that helped me identify some of the problems and how to solve them. And as like you mentioned, the air bubbles and dead volumes are two biggest problems when operating this device. And I think that was a part that we wanted to highlight in the paper. And we explained it. We explained an easy way to overcome that problem. And there is another problem, which one will explain to you.
Okay. Yes. Another problem was that the weight of the needle and the needle holder was so light. That was the NC membrane passed under this. It was bounced up and down. To correct this, we installed a bolt and a nut. at the end of the needle holder and the increased weight successfully help stabilize the needle during dispensing.
Okay, great. Seems like you have covered all the challenges. What was the biggest challenge among all of these? Was it the dead volume issue, or was it the weight of the needle, or was it finding the right needle size?
Actually, one of the biggest problem was having to print very, very small and detailed features of the parts using FDM printer. FDM printer has, its resolution is not as good as other light-based or resin-based printers. So that was one of the challenge. And okay. Also having, we use some cheap parts, like cheap motors that we can find okay. online, and those broke down pretty easily. So that was pretty difficult too.
Moving on to the next section of your paper, which was on the results. So your paper said you tested it on human C-reactive protein. Could you tell us something about your key results, and were you satisfied with your results?
We used CRP just to show that the device works and just to demonstrate how it works. But the result can be considered to be clinically relevant because it is sensitive enough to be used for HSCRP test or high sensitivity CRP test. And it is, I think it shows that our dispenser can be used during proof of concept stage of research and development.
So it seems like you accomplished your goal of creating an open source automated 3D antibody dispenser and everything within $30. Was this the price point you targeted?
Initially, I thought it would be meaningful as long as the cost is under a couple thousand dollars, which is about the cost of buying a few vials of antibodies. And the current cost is much lower than I originally thought. And I think this is because we try to use the cheapest parts available online, and we ordered parts in large quantities.
Are you still working on this project?
Yes, we are continuing to work on this project to solve some of the problems and possibly commercialize it.
So coming back to the journal, what was your experience with HardwareX right from the submission to the publication stage?
I think it was overall smooth experience, especially the review process was quick, and I like the good communication with the editors.
Do you have any suggestions to improve the journal?
I think sharing the necessary parts and purchase link is very important part of the journal. And unfortunately, some of the online store pages that I use to purchase the parts have disappeared already. And I think this kind of problem needs to be solved to facilitate and spread the hardware designs published on the paper.
Yes, we know that's a problem that is always there. You have a project done and you got the materials from the suppliers, and some of the suppliers have actually run out of business. So how important is having your project open source?
I think it's important, especially for me. I'm setting up a lab right now, and getting fund is always there. I mean, it's something to do all the time, and saving cost is also important. And using open source hardware or open source technologies can also help me establish my lab and get things done quickly.
Okay. So how do you find the balance between having proprietary rights to your research versus having something that is open access? How do you find the balance between those two?
Actually, I think that's a good question. I'm also trying to figure that out myself also. I think if I can have a patent on a technology because it's a, for example, it's a simple combination of pre-existing technologies, or if the design is not something very novel, I think that can be an open source technology. But if there are some novel features, or if there are some distinguishing features that nobody else has done it before, I think you can have proprietary rights to that.
My next question is about student involvement. When you work on open source projects, have you seen, like this one, for example, have you seen more students get interested in your project, and that helps to move the project faster?
My student one, he is an undergrad student. And so he is the first author of this study. And he, I think he did a great job turning this into reality. And I think I should ask one if he had fun doing this project. So one, did you have fun doing this project? Did it interest you?
During this project, I always have exciting, and this is very fun. fun work.
Great. Thank you so much for your discussion and congratulations on your paper. We wish you the very best for your research.
Thank you. Thank you, Professor Pandey, for inviting us today. And thank you for such a nice interview.